The Great Frog War, a One Piece fan fiction written by Hyperbolic Reverie, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated Gen. It is rated Gen and features Law, Lammy, and Law's parents. It starts with a perfectly innocent question. Law, why do you have a frog?
We dissected frogs in class yesterday, her brother says absently, turning the unfortunate amphibian in his hands over to look at it closer. The frog makes a distressed noise and flails its limbs frantically. Law ignores it. But we only had time to go over the respiratory system. I want to see how the rest of the body works.
So you stole a frog from school? Lammy might not be old enough to go to the academy yet, but she was sure that you weren't supposed to do things like that. The only thing you were supposed to bring home from school, she was confident, was homework. She didn't think a frog could be homework.
Nah, he says, pulling gently on one of the frog's front limbs, making it extend and fold back up. The frog wiggles some more, but Law remains unimpressed. Lammy thinks he's being awfully rude to the frog.
The pond behind the hospital is full of them. I just grabbed one on the way home.
Lammy extends both her hands, gesturing insistently.
Let me see him.
Why?
Because I want to.
He shrugs, but hands the frog over, and Lammy cradles it gently in her hands, trying to get it to calm down. Eventually, it stops struggling, but she can feel its frantic heartbeat pulsing under her fingers. Poor thing, getting hauled out of his home like that.
What are you going to do with him? She asks. Her big brother had said he wanted to study the frog. Maybe it was like when doctors gave you a checkup?
She wonders if frogs could eat lollipops, which is what the ladies at the hospital reception gave scared kids who came in to see the doctors.
Lammy was proud to say that she'd never been scared. But the lollipops were nice.
Like I said, I'm gonna dissect him. Law says, hanging his school bag from the back of his chair at the dining room table, where Lammy had been busily coloring as she waited for him to come home from school.
What does that mean?
Law gives her one of those evil big brother grins he uses when he knows something is going to upset her.
It means I'm going to cut him open and poke around his insides to figure out how he works.
Lammy pulls her hands, still cupped around the frog, as far away from her brother as she can.
You're gonna kill him?
She yells, and the frog in her hands makes a distressed noise. Lammy doesn't blame him. Of course he's scared. He's about to become an innocent victim.
That is usually a requirement for dissection, yes, Law says, missing the point entirely.
Otherwise, it's called a vivisection. He wrinkles his nose. I don't know if they teach that at school. He holds out a hand. Now hand it back over. I've got things to do.
But... Lammy stutters, trying to think as fast as she can. But do you even know how to kill things? Is there a right way to kill things?
Lammy doesn't think so. Doctors weren't supposed to do that. They were supposed to do the opposite of that. Her frantic question seems to do the trick. Law hums, stopping short. I hadn't gotten that far yet. He makes a face. Ugh, there are probably rules on how to do it right. This isn't gonna work if I do it wrong from the get-go. My results will be bad.
Can I have him until you figure it out?
She says innocently, knowing her brother. he's going to have to meticulously plan his entire twisted experiment from beginning to end before he starts. And that gives her time. Time to figure out how to keep the frog out of his clutches. Sure, fine, whatever, Law says absently, still lost in thought. Undoubtedly about how to murder her new little friend. Perfect, Lammy cheers happily. You go figure that out. Mr. Frog and I will just hang out in the meantime. She tries to make a shooing motion at her brother, but with the frog in her hands, it comes off as more like she's offering it to him, and she quickly snatches it back before he can change his mind. Do what you want, I guess, he says with a shrug. I'll be back for it later. Dad! Law calls as he wanders further off into the house. How do I prepare a creature for dissection and study? What? It's okay, Mr. Frog, Lammy whispers to the frightened creature in her hands as she ducks out of the room, making a beeline for the stairs. I'll make sure he doesn't get you. Lammy, could you come here, please? Dutifully, Lammy put down her colored pencils, green next to blue, in rainbow order, as was correct, and closes her coloring book. That was her dad's no-nonsense voice, which meant he had a very important question that couldn't wait. This had been explained to her multiple times, mostly after she didn't listen. Her father is standing in the middle of her bedroom, a pile of her neatly folded clothes under one arm, and he looks very tired. When she enters, he turns to her and gestures with his free hand towards the corner of the room where all her toys are neatly arranged. Why is there a frog in your dollhouse? Mr. Frog, who might actually be a Mr. Hobbs or perhaps a Mr. Legs, Lammy hasn't decided yet, is visible from behind the tiny little folding shutters on the upstairs window. He looks good, Lammy thinks. Just the right size for the dollhouse now that she's removed all the dolls. They'd understand. Mr. Frog was on the run after all. Lending him their home was only the kind thing to do. I was gonna cut him up, so I rescued him.
I see. And why the dollhouse?
He needed a place to live.
Her father sighs.
Well, that is very kind of you, Lammy. The frog can't stay in your dollhouse. They need water or they'll dry out and get sick.
I know, Lammy replies smugly, pointing to the giant picture book of animals in pride of place on her bedside table. She'd done her research. Frogs were a type of animal that were called a word she couldn't pronounce, but it meant they liked water, so only the best for her little guest.
That's why I filled up the bathtub so he would be comfortable.
You filled up the...
Mommy's dad leans over to peer into the upper floor of the dollhouse.
So you did. And it's leaking. Definitely leaking. Okay.
Her dad breathes in slowly, through his nose and out through his mouth. Lammy frowns. He looks upset. Why would he be upset about her making sure someone she was taking care of was comfortable? Isn't that what doctors did?
Lammy, he finally says, and she turns to him expectantly. Can you run downstairs and grab a towel from the bathroom? Your friend,
Mr. Frog!
Mr. Frog. Right, okay. Mr. Frog has made a bit of a mess, and we need to clean it up.
He places his armful of clothes down on Lammy's bed.
And while you go fetch that towel, I'm just going to bring him back to the pond.
No!
Lami shouts, jumping in between her dad and the dollhouse. If you do that, Law will just catch him again and he'll die!
She stresses the last word as dramatically as possible. Surely her dad can see how important it is that Mr. Frog be protected from whatever dastardly plans her brother has for him.
Well, her dad says, gently reaching into the dollhouse and picking up its lone resident.
Think of it this way. Someone needs to warn all the other frogs about your brother. That way they know to run away when he shows up.
When Lami opens her mouth to protest, he continues,
I'd tell them myself, but unfortunately I don't speak frog, and neither do you, so it needs to be someone who does.
He cradles the frog gently in the cage of his fingers, and Lami supposes he doesn't look too scared.
Besides, what were you going to feed him? I bet he's starving without all those delicious bugs.
Lami frowns. She has, admittedly, not yet figured out how to catch food for her little house guest. Bugs are small and fast and very unwilling to let themselves be caught, and she had yet to acquire a single one of them.
And it wouldn't be very nice to not make sure the other frogs knew to stay away from her brother?
Lami sighs. Fine, she grumbles. You can take him back.
She walks closer until she's peering directly into the cracks between her father's fingers.
You're gonna have to be sneaky, Mr. Frog. Law's really smart. He won't let you go a second time.
Mr. Frog only answers with a warbly croak in an attempt to free himself from her father's grip.
The towel, Lami, her father says, and she can tell from his tone that she has run out of wiggle room to dawdle. She dutifully skips out the door without another word, carefully descending the stairs to fetch the requested item before she gets in trouble. If she lingers downstairs for a little bit to make sure Law doesn't notice her father aiding and abetting his target's escape, well, it's the least she can do for Mr. Frog if she can't protect him personally.
Two days after the return of Mr. Frog to his natural habitat, Law brings home another frog, and Lami doesn't catch him in time.
Why are you crying? Law says, looking down at her incredulously, where she's collapsed at his feet on the floor.
It's a frog. There are countless frogs.
But you killed him! Lami protests, pointing to the neat bag Law has in his hands, where the remains of another frog are carefully stowed away. Thankfully, it's not see-through. Lami doesn't want to know what he'd done to the poor thing.
Her, actually, Law says, gesturing with the bag. It had eggs.
Lami just wails.
You know, when you start school, you're going to have to do this too. Law deadpans, unmoved.
Multiple times.
I won't be killing them, Lami objects. I won't be the one taking them away from their families.
Again, frog, Law says. I don't think they really do the whole family thing.
Law,
comes their mother's stern voice from where she's working at her desk nearby.
We didn't teach you how to go about your experiments so you could torture your sister with the details. She's allowed to be concerned.
I just don't get what the big deal is, Law says petulantly.
It's a frog.
Sweetie, their mother says, rising from her chair to come stand over both her children. She sounds very tired.
You're very smart, and we love that you're excited about studying medicine. But you are a very odd 8-year-old.
She pats him on the head.
We wouldn't have you any other way, but we're all a bit strange in this family. Dad said he liked dissection when he was my age, Law says defensively, crossing his arms and pouting. Remind me to tell you some of the stories about what he and I got up to in secondary school, their mother says with a chuckle. I promise you, you come by your fascinations honestly. And, she says pointedly, I seem to remember a couple of years ago that a certain someone wailed nonstop for a week when he learned what happened to seals in the fur trade. So maybe you should be a little more sympathetic to your sister. Law turns a bright cherry red. Mom! Is that why I'm not allowed to hold your old seal plushie? Lami says, and Law turns, if anything, even more red. Lami grins. It was always fun when teasing her brother worked. He made the best faces. I bet you wouldn't dissect a seal. Dissect, their mother corrects absently as Law sputters protests. Law, go give your subject a proper burial. Lami, please get up off the floor. You can plan what you're going to do the next time your brother brings a frog home. So long as it doesn't involve wrecking the house or each other. Or anything. Don't wreck anything, actually. Lami sniffs, but resolutely stands up. She'd failed this time, but there would be more chances. If Law was going to keep trying, then so would Lami. As long as more frogs left the house alive than dead, she won. And she was more than prepared to take up the challenge of attempting to outmaneuver her older brother. I'm gonna be the best frog rescuer ever, she declares. And then Law will have to stop because I'm just so good at it. Absolute gremlins, the both of you, her mother mutters. Lami doesn't know what a gremlin is, but decides she's gonna wear the designation with pride. Why is there a dead frog in the refrigerator? Lami's mother is standing in the doorway, still in her work clothes, and she has a look on her face that promises trouble for whomever is responsible for her unfortunate discovery. I didn't do it. Law immediately answers from where he's curled up in the armchair in the corner with a book roughly the size of his own torso. Lami can't tell what this one's about, but it's new and that means he's probably going to be trying new and dastardly things on the local frog population within the week. Law? The look their mother gives him is asking him to wonder why she's doubting him. Which is entirely reasonable, Lami thinks. She hasn't been able to save all of them. Her brother's sneaky like that, and he's allowed to stay up later. It gives him an unfair advantage. I'm serious! I didn't! He scowls and rolls his eyes. I didn't do it this time, he amends. Happy? No. Their mother says flatly. Because I still don't know why there's a dead frog in the refrigerator. I put a frog in there this morning, Lami says, kicking her feet against her own chair, only half paying attention. She's almost mastered a new cat's cradle pattern, but if she doesn't concentrate, it's going to fall all to pieces, and she'll have to start over. But he was very much alive, so it can't be him. She watches a glance slide between her mother and her brother, the silence in the room heavy until Law's mouth quirks up at the corners, and he bursts out laughing, cackling with abandon. His book drops into his lap as he presses his hands over his face to muffle the sound, and the sigh that exits her mother's lungs might as well be just as loud. What? She says petulantly. She's missed something. She hates it when she misses something. Lami, her mother says delicately. Why did you put a frog in the refrigerator.
Because it was really warm out today and I didn't want him to overheat, but I'm not allowed to put them in the sink or the bathtub after Dad found the ones I put there last month, so I picked the next best thing. She pouts. I would have brought him back to the pond, but Law was down there terrorizing the other frogs.
Attempting to collect specimens, her brother corrects, voice hoarse around his laughter.
Victims, Lammy hisses, and he just laughs harder.
Lammy, her mother says, in the voice she uses when she's going to say something upsetting. The refrigerator is too cold for frogs. And dry. And airtight.
Airtight?
It means nothing can breathe inside of it, Law clarifies breathlessly. Lammy tilts her head to the side.
But if you can't breathe in there, then...
The string drops from her fingers as realization steals over her.
I killed him?
Her mother winces, but doesn't say anything. It's confirmation enough. She can feel the tears starting to well up in the corners of her eyes. She'd killed her little friend when she'd just been trying to take care of him. She'd betrayed his trust. She was a horrible person. Honey, comes a familiar voice from the kitchen, and all three Trafalgars stop to listen. Why is there a dead frog in the refrigerator?
Lammy thought it was overheating. Their mother responds as their father ambles confusedly into the room, holding a plate with a very dead frog curled up in a tight little ball on it.
Well, he says. He's not anymore. One finger tentatively pokes the frog's back. He's not frozen, but, rigor mortis has definitely set in. Law seems to have finished laughing, because he unfolds himself from his chair and walks over to stare at the frog. If it's already dead, can I have it? I want to see what the effects of cold on the body are. None of the other frogs have died like this. You are going to depopulate that pond at the rate you're going, their father says absently, still perusing the unfortunate amphibian.
Nah,
Law says with a shrug. Judging by the amount of tadpoles that were swimming around in there this spring, I'm doing them a favor by keeping the population down. He turns his head to give Lammy one of his meaner grins. Besides, Lammy's rescued less of them than she thinks. He reaches up a finger to poke the frog. Actually helped this time, too. Lammy makes an affronted noise, tears still dribbling down her cheeks. How dare he? He's not wrong, but he doesn't need to call attention to her crimes.
Just for that, no frog for you,
their mother mutters and grabs the plate from their father, who seems only too happy to relinquish it.
I'll find somewhere to dispose of this.
I've been putting them under the rose bushes in the hospital garden when I'm done with them, Law says, clearly miffed at missing another opportunity to commit horrors. If you want to be tidy about it. That explains why they've been doing so well this year, I guess, his dad muses. They've had food. He gives the frog his wife is now holding a considering look. I suppose we could try eating him. They do that in places in the West Blue, I've heard, and he's undoubtedly quite fresh.
People eat them?
Lammy exclaims in horror, startled clear out of her sadness. Is there no place frogs can be safe? Even Law seems to think that's a step too far, judging by the disgusted look he's got on his face.
I hear they're supposed to taste like chicken.
Absolutely not, her mother barks. And you, stop helping, she says to their dad, who, now that Lami is looking at him, looks maybe a little too happy to be discussing the disposition of her unfortunate frog friend. As their mother marches off, their father comes over and leans against the chair Lami's sitting in, slinging an arm around her and drawing her close.
Sorry about the frog, kiddo, he says. I know it was just an accident.
He trusted me, Lami mutters into his side. His coat smells sharp, like the stuff they use to clean things in the hospital.
I mean, he was a frog, her father says awkwardly. But I'm sure he'd forgive you for acting with the noblest of intentions, or something.
But what if I do it again? Mommy sniffles.
Maybe your brother can take a break from his experiments for a little while, he says with a pointed look at his older child. Then we can have no dead frogs in the house for a change. It'll be nice.
I've learned pretty much everything I think I'm gonna from frogs anyway, Law says with a shrug. I've got 3 whole notebooks with diagrams and everything. So you'll leave them alone?
Lami says hopefully, lifting her head to give her brother her best puppy dog eyes.
This was better than she could have hoped for. If Law was leaving his murderous scientist streak behind, then there would be no more frogs to need to save, and maybe accidentally co-sign to death.
Sure, why not? He responds with a shrug, and Lami lets out a cheer. Tears forgotten. Victory! Wait, her father says suspiciously. I know you. I basically was you at your age. What are you planning on replacing frogs with?
Lami's head snaps around to stare at her brother. She hadn't considered that.
I don't know, Law says with a shrug. Squirrels? They're harder to catch, though, and they bite. But they're mammals, so they'd be more relevant than the frogs were.
No!
Lami says.
Squirrels are mean.
Then you shouldn't care about me dissecting them, Law says frankly, to which Lami only screeches in response. You're doing this on purpose. Both of you, their father mutters as he moves to the nearby couch and sinks into it with the boneless slouch of a man impossibly tired. Law says with a shrug, going back to his book. You never said medical study couldn't also be entertaining. Mommy goes back to her game of cat's cradle, satisfied with the knowledge that the local frog population would shortly see an end to the tyranny of fear. Unfortunately, if Law was going to start going after squirrels, that meant she couldn't rest just yet. Squirrels were very different from frogs, and she was kind of afraid of their sharp teeth and the way they always yelled at her, but they deserved to live just as much as her froggy friends did. And as a bonus, even though they were very rude animals, they'd surely be easier to take care of. After all, squirrels wouldn't cause a mess in the dollhouse bathroom. The end.